Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
God bless you, brothers. I appreciate you inviting us into your worship experience on this morning. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask you if you would open your Bibles, if you would, if you have your tablet, your cell phone, or if you don't have any of that, just look up at the big screen. But I'm asking you at this time if you would, as it is the custom in this house, to rest on our feet, provided you're able to. But if you have conditions that prohibit you, please, sir, ma'am, keep your seat. I definitely understand. And as we look today at our scripture, it's found in Psalms 119, verses 71 and 72. Psalms 119, verses 71 and 72. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And if you're still looking, say, wait on me. Amen. In this house, the wait on me's always have it. We just want everybody to see what thus saith the word of God. Amen. As we look at this Psalms, it is believed that the psalmist here is David. And this is what he said. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Eternal God, once again, we are grateful and thankful to you, Lord, for this day. For this is the day that you've made. And Lord, we are exceedingly glad and we're rejoicing to be a part of it. We realize, Lord Jesus, that there are some that didn't wake up this morning, God. But here you have us, Lord, in this place, God, for such a time as this, Lord, to hear a word that can, Lord, totally revolutionize the way we live our life for you. Now, Lord, if you would please allow me, your servant, Lord, to be lent your anointing, for it's through your anointing that every yoke, fetter, and chain will be broken. And, Lord, when lives are changed, people are delivered, souls are saved, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And, Lord, for our viewing audience, for those that are live streaming, if you've never repented of your sins nor been baptized in Jesus' name, today is a great day to do it. Amen. And he promised that he will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At this time, I want to just read to you again those two portions of scripture where the psalmist had an epiphany, a revelation. And he said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. For the remaining time that I have, if you would please allow me to minister to you from this thought, the purpose of pain. Now, somebody next to you, maybe across the aisle, say, did you know that? Pain has a purpose. God bless you. You may be seated. The purpose of pain. As I look at the thought, two words literally leap out to me in it. One is the word purpose. And purpose is the motive, the grounds, the cause, the bias, the reason, or the justification for why something is done. And then the other word is pain. I'm quite sure many of us have experienced pain, deals with suffering and agony and affliction and torment. And as we look at that, there are times, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, when it comes to God allowing pain in the life of a believer, it is often questioned, why? Well, believe it or not, pain is an instrument in which God uses to accomplish various things in the lives of the believers. I got any believers in the house today? See, when it comes to our lives, he uses this instrument called pain because he has something he wants to pull out of us to get us to a place where we can be used by him. It would behoove us to understand that his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. That's in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Now, no doubt, that's why a lot of believers struggle with Romans 8 and 28. You know the scripture, and we know that all things, somebody say all things. That's the part that we have a problem with. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Got any called people in the house? You on YouTube, you there on Facebook, wave back at me. You called today. But along with that calling comes this, is a perplexity when you think. Because you see, if we had it our way, if it was left up to us, we would no doubt exclude pain and suffering from the all things portion. Why that gotta be in there? Why do I have to go through this? You see, we would delete the pain and suffering portion of it because we feel that pain and suffering isn't needed to accomplish God's goals. Hence, brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, there's only one God, and you nor I am he. Oh, it got real quiet in this apostolic church. No. You don't have nothing to do with it. It's God and God alone. In his sovereignty, he says, this is how I'm going to do it. So please, you nor I are he. Now, please permit me to leave you 3 points, and I'm going to be done. One of the points is God allows our pain to get our attention. It's an attention getter. I promise you, it's an attention getter. You don't believe me? You start nailing. You start fixing something, and all of a sudden that hammer hits your thumb. All of us, that pain, that excruciating pain, it gets your attention. So God allows pain to get our attention. In Psalms 119, 67, it says, before I had been afflicted, I went astray. Mm-hmm. But now I keep your word. See, prior to that, I was doing my own thing. I was doing me. But he said, before I was afflicted, I went my way. I went my own way. I did me. But now I keep your word. In Hebrews 12 and 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I know I got some parents in the house, and I also know I got children that are still in that phrase where you can get a spanking. Now I'm being polite. In my day, they call it a whooping. Boy, go get that iron cord. See, right now, that somebody said, I will turn them in. Well, listen, it didn't do it. It worked. I am who I am because of it. But listen to what the scripture said. Let me just go back, because I think we don't realize we have great scripture support when it comes to chastening. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. See, at the time when they say, go get that belt, ain't nothing fun about that. You can't, you scratching your head, why they gotta do that? Just talk to me. No, because talking don't always work. But at that moment, what is happening is grievous. Nevertheless, I love this word in the Bible. Nevertheless, afterward. See, by and by, you see the profit of it. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You see, to get our attention, God has been known to allow suffering, sickness, adversity, afflictions, trials, tribulations, and heartaches in our lives. Your life. You might be this person I'm talking to. Maybe they're there on Facebook today and YouTube. But your life may be one disaster after another, and mostly because of your disobedience to God. In fact, God is allowing and God is saying, I've been trying to get your attention. So God is trying to get your attention, but you're not listening. So that's when he allows those things to happen. But sometimes we won't listen until, somebody say until. Until we have to pass through times of hardship and pain. I'm talking to you this morning about the purpose of pain. My second point. God allows pain to teach us to depend on him. Listen, bruh, sis. Yeah, you might be making six digits. You might be driving the best and living in the best. But sometimes when we start thinking that we're all of that, God says, now let me show you something. Let me bring you back to who you need to depend upon. So God allows our pain to teach us to depend on him. Scripture, 2 Corinthians 1 and 7, verse through 7 through 10. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. You see, these are believers saying, listen, we've been in this thing for a while. We've been saved for a minute, so to say. And we going through. I don't want you to be ignorant and think every day is Sunday. See, if every day was like Sunday, we have it made in the shade. But in each life, some rain must fall. Don't get it twisted. Those chilly winds that they talked about, they gonna blow. But if you're behind the rock, if you're behind the mountain, is going to minimize what you're going to deal with. So it said that we don't want you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life. Somebody said that was tough. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we go through trials and it's tough. But trust me, if it don't kill you, it'll make you strong. Verse number 9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. I'm trying to help somebody. You done got so that you trust in your own self. You trust in what you can bring to the table. You trust in how you can get yourself out of that situation. Well, the disciples had a whole different mindset. They said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Somebody said if he did it once, he can do it again. Anybody believe that? Right there. That's a good place to give God some glory. Give him some. I believe, God, you can do it. There's nothing too hard for you. Paul the Apostle Paul. He personally recognized this to be true in his account with his seeking the Lord to remove the thorn that was in his flesh, that was in his side. In 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Well, first of all, let's go back and see, why did God allow this to happen? Because Paul was being used greatly of God. And I believe before it's all said and done, God is going to use a lot of you in a way that you could have not even fathomed. But bruh, sis, don't get it twisted. It ain't you, it's the God in you. And so God was saying, I'm going to do this because I'm giving you all of these revelations and I don't want your head to swell up. So I'm going to allow Satan to come and buffet you. That doesn't happen. I'm talking about the purpose of pain. He went on to say, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Somebody say, let the weak say I'm strong. He says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure, and listen to what this, Paul said, listen, y'all, it was a learning experience. I had to learn the purpose of pain. He said, but once I got it in my spirit, man, this is what he said. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. There's another person that wants to witness to us this morning, coming from Job 13 and 15. And Job declares this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job got it too. I'm going through my go-through right now. And though you are allowing it, I'm going to still trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I'll trust in him, though he slay me. Yeah, that's what Job was saying. You see, brothers and sisters, he lost his children. He lost his wealth and even his health. His friends, they want no help. And his wife told him, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? But how many of you know, Job understood the purpose of pain. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And my last point, God allows us to experience pain in order for us to minister to others more effectively. Now, brothers and sisters, you say you want to be used by God. You say you want God to use you to his glory. Well, that might entail you going through some painful experiences. And I like to say this and qualify it, that the pain you're going through isn't necessarily for you, but it's for the person that you're going to be able to minister to. I often wondered, and I often desire for some women, in particularly young women, in this ministry to stand up and tell the next young lady about the pain you went through and not obey. Tell them about the pain that you suffer now struggling in cases to try to raise a child with sometimes no help at all. I can honestly say in this ministry, y'all are blessed. Any of the young ladies that's in that category, because y'all got some good parents. You got a good support system as far as the church family. But there are those that are now in a situation, they say, Lord, this pain is too much for me to bear. Trying to raise this child trying to earn a living, trying to go to school. Yes. See, I want one day a young person to raise up in this ministry and tell it like that. Yes. And I promise you it will make an impact on that person, because that's what I'm saying. God allows us to go through pain so we can minister more effectively. Yes. See, let me put it like this. It's kind of hard for you to tell me about going through, and you ain't never been through nothing. It's hard for me to receive what you got to say when you ain't been through nothing. But now when you're able to come down to my level, and I can look you eyeball to eyeball, and I see the realness in you, and I see that you've been through what I'm going through, and now you can help pull me through, that's ministry. That's why you deal with you, what you're dealing with. That's the purpose of pain. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, and then verse 7. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. You see how that thing works? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. One more scripture. Genesis 50, 19 and 20. And many of you know this account when you start hearing it. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God allows us to experience pain in our lives so that we can minister to others more effectively. Don't you know Joseph, in that ordeal, he had to go through some things. And when he did, he understood clearly what was being done. He understood that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I'd like to just close with the scriptures that we read from the very beginning. When the psalmist said this, and it actually, you probably need to read the whole thing, but I just took and gave you verses 71 and 72, and 67 is the leeway, because it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. And then verse 71 and 72 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn the statutes. Thy statutes. I learned the word of God. It was real personal now. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Brothers and sisters, guests and our visitors, as I bring this to a close, the psalmist, when he came to that revelation, when he came to that point where he understood, this is the thing that I want us to see, that it's hard to look at affliction or pain as a good thing. It doesn't really feel like a good thing when you're going through it. I think it's one of those things, really and truly, that you can only fully comprehend and recognize and realize after the fact. Somebody say, after the fact. You see, when some time has lapsed and gone by, some times have come and gone past, we can look back and we can see that the things that we went through helped us. Can I get me one or two, maybe three or four people? Facebook, I wish I could see you right now. I wish I could see you. YouTube. Because I think there's some witnesses in the house. That now that you look back over it, you can see that that thing really helped you. It helped us to learn, to grow, and to improve. If I'm lying, don't say nothing. But if I'm telling the truth, say amen. They need to hear that. That thing, I know it was difficult, it was hard, but what happened was I learned and I grew and I improved. Affliction often teaches us humility and helps us to learn to love others. We learn why God's laws are there and how they can protect us. Do you know the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The word of God, it's there for a purpose. It sets these boundaries, these parameters. And if we stay within the lines, we'll be all right. Because they're there to protect us, even from ourselves. Because you know, sometimes self can get beside itself. Self can justify when they want to do something called sin. It'll manipulate the word. See, I've learned this, and not that I've been saved a long, long time, but you pretty much can make the word say what you want to say. Oh, yeah, you can manipulate it. You know, there's those out there that say, we can drink. We can drink wine. See, the Bible says, to rightly divide the word of truth. Yeah, is it in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. Somebody say, even Jesus. Bruh, sis. Non-fermented. It was unfermented wine. That day, it was not like any other. You know why? Because it was made out of water. They never taste anything like the guys. Wow, man. Most people get you smashed in the beginning, and then they bring out the bad stuff. But you save the best for last. Brothers and sisters, he's saving you the best for last. He's saving you to do and make an impact in this world, to understanding the purpose of your pain. I don't want to diminish the pain of what you've been through or maybe even going through. I don't want to diminish the pain of what we go through on a daily. Some of us have these serious bouts of living sin every day. Somebody say the struggle is real. It is very real. And I'm not trying to diminish that. I want you to know that when it's all said and done, if you can understand the purpose of pain and know that God means nothing but good for your life, yes, that the pain that you're suffering now is only a light thing, and it will cause and create great dividends in heaven. Brothers and sisters, guests and visitors, understand, God has a plan and a purpose for you, and I'll need you to understand the purpose of pain. Can I get you to stand? The core and the definition. Pain. It's hurt, it's affliction, and it happens to the just as well as the unjust. However, God can make all things work together for good to them that love him. And that includes the difficult times of devastation, the thing that you said, Lord, I don't think I can go beyond this. I don't think I can keep on living after this has happened to me. Brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that you hold on until the end. Don't let what happened to you cause you to lose focus and cause you to think that God is unfair and unjust. He knows your pain, and he knows exactly what's going to come out of your pain. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, I'd just like you to reflect on one thing that was in your life that you were able to be an overcomer of, but when it was happening, you thought, no way, Jose, is no way that I can make it through this. But here you stand today, alive and well, in a sound mind and a desire like never before to live for God. But when it was happening, you couldn't see it. Father, I pray right now for those that are here, those that are on Facebook and YouTube. I pray that they walk away with the purpose of pain and understand, God, you are sovereign in all your dealings with man, and that, God, you will not put any more on them than they can bear. Those that, Lord, are here live and in person, I pray, God, a prayer that they would continue to realize that life will have troubles. It'll have trials and tribulations and tests, but we've got Jesus on the inside working on all of this outside interference, and that, God, you are going to bring us through it. I ask you, Lord, if there's any today under the sound of my voice, the altar is open if you desire. Where you are, you can kneel down and make that your place of prayer. But I am here to tell you today that as you come and you contemplate, there's always plenty good room for those that desire. And those that are still in your seats, if you would just direct your attention up here as we begin to pray for these. And then, Lord, I'm asking you to minister to those that are on social media, whatever platform. Maybe they're not even looking at us today, but we pray that you would minister to them. You bless them, Lord, wherever they are, wherever they stop the dial. God, let it be a word that will convict, convince, and convert them. But I do pray, Lord, for the viewing audience, those that are live streaming today, that, God, you meet them right where they are, God. You know what they're going through and how long they've been going through it. God, you are able to deliver them. And we bless you and we thank you, Lord, today, because God is you and you alone that's able, Lord. God, I come before you right now, and as we are here, Lord, at the altar, God, I thank you for those that, Lord, come, and they come, Lord, with a heart, Lord, ready to say, Lord, here I am, God, just as I am. I'm wearied, I'm worn, and somewhat sad. But I found in you, Lord, a resting place, a place that I can come and hide. And you can, Lord, keep me from, Lord Jesus, all that the world is trying to, Lord, implode in my life. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, God. Even now, Lord, you know exactly the need of your people, Lord, here and abroad, Lord. There are people, Lord, overseas that are viewing. There are people, God, in other cities and other states, God. And we don't, Lord, know who and when and how, but we just know, Lord, that, God, you're able, Lord, to deliver them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, do it for them, Lord. Even now, God, make a way, God, out of no way for those that thought that it couldn't happen for me. But, Lord, it can. It can, Lord, because one day somebody told me of this joy that they had. They told me that in sorrow they could be sad. But then one day, God, I was bound, but now I'm set free. But I didn't think it could be until it happened to me, God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.